It goes back to 1929. It's sometimes 1933, now this 1929. The trip to Calvary. When he came to Vilnius for 2 months to replace a sister who had gone for her third probation, I stayed a little longer than 2 months. One day, the Mother Superior, wanting to give me a bit of pleasure, gave me permission to go together with another sister to Calvary to walk the paths, as they say. I think it's a place kind of wave the cross, maybe that way, you know. I was delighted, but it was not very far. It was Mother Superior's wish that we should go by boat. This is his question. That evening, Jesus said to me, "I want you to stay home." I answered, "Jesus, everything is ready for us to leave tomorrow morning. What I'm to do now?" Donald answered, "This trip will be harmful for your soul." I replied to Jesus, "You can find a way out, arrange things in such a way that your will be done." At the moment, the bell announced the time for sleep. I gave Jesus a parting glance and went to my cell. Next morning, the weather was beautiful, and my companion was filled with joy at the prospect of the great pleasure we would have in getting to see everything. But as for me, I was sure we would not go, even though there were no obstacles so far. We were to receive Holy Communion earlier and live right after Thanksgiving. But during the time of communion, all of a sudden, the weather changed. Clouds covered the sky, and the rain came down in torrents. Everyone was astonished at such a sudden change in the weather. Mother Superior said to me, "I'm so sorry, you cannot go, sister." I answered, "Dear Mother, it doesn't really matter that we cannot go. It was God's will that we stay home." However, no one knew that it was Jesus' expressed desire that I stay home. I spent the whole day in recollection and meditation, thanking the Lord for having kept me home. That day, God granted me many heavenly consolations. It's beautiful. One time, during the novitiate, when Mother Directress sent me to work in the ward's kitchen, I was very upset because I could not manage the pots, which are very large. And the most difficult task for me was draining the potatoes, and sometimes I spilled half of them with the water. When I told this to Mother Directress, she said that with time I would get used to it and gain the necessary skill. Yet the task was not getting any easier, as I was growing weaker every day. So I would move a weight when it was time to drain the potatoes. The sisters noticed that I avoid this task and were very much surprised. We're conscious, the other sisters, conscious what you're doing, even the two things, as if they're not watching you, but they're watching you. They notice everything, every small thing. They did not know that I could not help, in spite of all my willingness to do this and not spare myself. At noon, during the examination of conscience, I complained to God about my weakness. Then I heard the following words in my soul: from today on, you will do this easily. I will strengthen you. Fantastic, huh? That evening, when the time came to drain all of the water from the potatoes, I hurried to be the first to do it, trusting in the Lord's words. I took up the pot with ease and poured off the water perfectly. But when I tore off the cover to let the potatoes steam off, I saw there in the pot, in the place of the potatoes, whole bunches of red roses, beautiful beyond description. I had never seen such roses before. Greatly astonished and unable to understand the meaning of this, I heard a voice within me saying, I change such hard work of yours into bouquets of most beautiful flowers, and the perfume rise up to my throne. From then on, I have tried to drain the potatoes myself, not only during my week when it was my turn to cook, but also in replacement of other sisters when it was their turn. And not only do I do this, but I try to be the first to help in any other burdensome task, because I've experienced how much this pleased God. Oh, inexhaustible treasure of purity of intention, which makes all the action perfect and so pleasing to God. Oh Jesus, you know how weak I am. Be then ever with me. Guide my actions, my whole being. You who are my very best teacher. Truly, Jesus, I become frightened when I look at my own misery. But at the same time, I am reassured by your unfathomable mercy, which exceeds my misery by the measure of all eternity. This disposition of soul clothes me in your power. O joy that flows from the knowledge of one's self, O unchanging truth, your constancy is everlasting. When I fell sick, probably the beginning of consumption, after my first bouts, and when despite the kind and solicitous care of my superiors and the efforts of the doctor, I felt neither better nor worse. Remarks began to reach my ears, which inferred that I was making believe. With that, my suffering was doubled, and this lasted for quite a long time. One day I complained to Jesus that I was quite a burden to the sisters. Jesus answered me, "You are not living for yourself, but for souls. And other souls will profit from your suffering. Your prolonged suffering will give them the light and strength to accept my will." So she's paying for the other people. Some people are called for that. If you are always suffering, thank the Lord. God calls you to be an instrument. Do you believe that? Good. That's good. That's important. The heaviest suffering for me was that it seemed to me that neither my prayers nor my good works were pleasing to God. I did not dare lift up to my eyes to heaven. This caused me such great suffering during the community exercises in the chapel that one day Mother Superior called me aside after the exercises and said to me, "Sister, ask God for grace and consolation, because I can see for myself and the sisters keep telling me that the very sight of you invokes pity. She looks so pitiful. I really do not know what to do with you, sister. I command you to stop tormenting yourself for no reason. Yeah. Stop yourself doing for no reason. They don't understand. Of course, she's suffering physically, in turn suffering. So she can't stop. But, you know, all the sisters watching her with such a face make people sick. So, you understand what this meaning? Yeah. Why? What question? So the superior doesn't want the sister show off her pain. Then all people see her just a painful face. No, stop that. Even you're painful. Part of it, not doubting. Also, she's painful. I'll read again. The heaviest suffering for me was that it seemed to me that neither my prayers nor my good works were pleasing to God. Yeah, this is one. I do not dare lift up my eyes to heaven. This caused me such great suffering during the community exercise in the chapel. Then one day, Mother Superior called me aside after the exercises and said to me, yeah, that's right, you said, sister, ask God for grace and consolation, because I can see for myself and the sisters keep telling me that the very sight of you invokes pity. She looked pitiful. I really do not know what to do with you, sister. I command you to stop tormenting yourself for no reason. Sorry? Yeah, first of all, because she's a gentle soul. Give you pity on her. She's so gentle, so weak. You know, she's not doubtful, you know. It's a soul, so loved Jesus and didn't feel the love at times, no? Doubting, yes. But all these conferences with Mother Superiors brought me no relief, nor did they clarify anything for me. She's still in doubt. Rather, even greater darkness hid God from me. I looked for help in the confessional, but not even there did I find it. I think the confessor here, lots of her, Father. No light. A sainted priest wanted to help me, but I was so miserable that I couldn't even define my trouble. And that vexed me even more. She can't explain what exactly. This is a spiritual exercise. A deathly sadness penetrated my soul to such an extent that I was unable to hide it. And it was apparent to those around me. Wow. I lost hope. The night was growing darker and darker. The priest to whom I went to confession said to me, I see you very special. I see very special grace in you, sister. I am not worried about you at all. Why are you torturing yourself in this way? But at that time, I did not understand at all what he was saying. I was extremely surprised when, by way of penance, I was ordered to say the Deum or the Magnificat, or to run fast around the garden in the evening, or else to laugh out loud 10 times a day. That's a penance. Laugh 10 times a day, or run in the garden. I think she needs exercise. No, she's always consumed in just prayer, no? You have to get a good health in order to get a better prayer. These penances were very surprising to me. Usually I ask you to say some rosary or some Hail Mary, some Our Father. No, you just walk on the and run. But even with that priest was not able to give me much help. Evidently, God wanted me to give him glory through suffering. nobody can have. But that's the way. That's our cross. The priest consoled me, saying that in my present situation, I was more pleasing to God than if I were filled with greatest consolations. It's very great grace, sister, he told me, that in your present condition, if all the torments of soul you're experiencing, you not only do not offend God, but you even try to practice virtues. I'm looking into your soul, and I see God's great plans and special graces there. And seeing this, I give thanks to the Lord. But despite all that, my soul was in a state of torture. In the midst of unspeakable torments, I imitated the blind man who entrusts himself to his guide, holding his hand firmly, not giving up obedience for a single moment. And this was my only safety in this fiery trial. So just blindly believe in the confession, in the confessor. Just believe what he says. She can understand what he's saying, but just blindly to believe. Oh Jesus, eternal truth, strengthen my feeble fear forces. You can do all things, Lord. I know that without you, all my efforts are in vain. Oh Jesus, do not hide from me, for I cannot live without you. Listen to my cry of my soul. Your mercy has not been exhausted, Lord. So have pity on my misery. Your mercy surpasses an understanding of all angels and people put together. And so, although it seems to me that you do not hear me, I put my trust in the ocean of your mercy. I know that my hope will not be deceived. But still here, yes and no, still, you know, trust, and she's still trusting, but no light, there's a problem. believing. Only Jesus knows how burdensome and difficult it is to accomplish one's duties when the soul is so interiorly tortured and physical power so weakened that the mind darkened. In the silence of my heart, I kept saying to myself, O Christ, mighty knight, honor and glory be yours and suffering be mine. I will not lag one step behind as I follow you, though thorns wound my feet. Struggle, huh? Heart struggle. I was sent for treatment to our house in Plock, and there I had the privilege of decorating the chapel with flowers. That was at Myla. Sister Tekla did not always have time for this, so I often decorated the chapel for myself. One day I had picked the prettiest roses to decorate the room of a certain person. When I was approaching the porch, I saw Jesus standing there. In a kindly way, he asked me, My daughter, to whom are you taking these roses, these flowers? My silence was my reply to the Lord, because I recognized immediately that I had a very subtle attachment to this person. She liked that person, which I had not noticed before. Suddenly, Jesus disappeared. At the same moment, I threw the flowers on the ground and went before the Blessed Sacrament, my heart filled with gratitude for the grace of knowing myself. Self-love. To people attached to her. Jesus wanted her detachment from people even. Straight away, O Divine Son, in your rays, the soul sees the tiniest specks of dust which displease you. O Jesus, eternal truth, our life, I call upon you and beg your mercy for poor sinners. O sweetest heart of my Lord, full of pity and of unfathomable mercy, I pledge with you for poor sinners. O most sacred heart, font of mercy, from which God stole forth rays of inconceivable graces upon the entire human race, I beg of you light for poor sinners. O Jesus, be mindful of your own bitter passion, and do not permit the loss of souls redeemed at so dear a price of your most precious blood. O Jesus, when I consider the great price of your blood, I rejoice at its immensity, for one drop alone would have been enough for the salvation of all sinners. Although sin is an abyss of weakness and ingratitude, the price paid for us can never be equaled. Therefore, let every soul trust in the passion of the Lord and place its hope in his mercy. God will not deny his mercy to anyone. Heaven and earth may change, but God's mercy will never be exhausted. Oh, what immense joy burns in my heart when I contemplate your incomprehensible goodness. Oh Jesus, I decide to bring all sinners to your feet that they may glorify your mercy throughout endless ages. Oh my Jesus, despite the deep night that is all around me and the dark clouds which hide the horizon, I know that the sun never goes out. Oh Lord, though I cannot comprehend you and do not understand your ways, I nonetheless trust in your mercy. If it is your will, Lord, that I live always in such darkness, may you be blessed. If until her death, she said her yes. Everlasting. If darkness, if can do some goodness for the sinners, she's willing. That's the generosity. That's important. That's pleasing to God. Be generous. I ask you only one thing, Jesus. The Lord allow me to offend you in any way. Oh my Jesus, you alone know the longings and the sufferings of my heart. I'm glad I can suffer for you, however little. When I feel that the suffering is more than I can bear, I take refuge in the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. And I speak to him with profound silence. When you have some problems, doubts, come to the Blessed Sacrament. That's how Sister Faustina doing in her life. Only Jesus can heal you, can hear you, can console you, can be with you all the time. If you're flowers for any other person, think first. The confession of one of our wards. One day I felt driven to take steps to see to it that the Feast of Mercy be instituted and the image of the merciful Jesus be painted, and I could find no peace. Something was pervading my whole being, and yet I feared being deluded. However, these doubts always came from outside, because in the depths of my soul, I felt it was the Lord who was penetrating my being. The priest to whom I was going to confession at that time told me that one can often have illusions, and I felt that he was somewhat afraid to hear my confession. The confessor dared not to hear her confession because there was so much inspirations, so much above the earth. So the priest don't understand this coming from illusion or really from inspiration from the Lord. So the confessor hesitated. This was a torture for me, seeing that I was getting very little, little help, getting little help from people. I turned all the more to Jesus, the best of all teachers. At one time, when I was filled with doubts as to whether the voice I heard came from the Lord or not, I began to speak to Jesus in theory without forming any words. Suddenly, an intuitive force took hold of me, and I said, "If you, who commune with me and talk to me, are truly my God, I beg you not to make this word go this very day to confession. This sign will give me reassurance." At that moment, the girl asked to go to confession. The mother in charge of the class was surprised at this sudden change in her, but she undertook to call a priest immediately, and this person made her confession with great compunction. What's a compunction? What's that? Huh? What's that? Huh? Compunction.
P-U-N-C-T-I-O-N.
Sorrow, okay. At the same time, I heard a voice within me say, "Do you believe me now?" And once again, a strange power pervaded my soul, strengthening and assuring me to such a degree that I myself was surprised that I had allowed myself to doubt even for a moment. Do you understand this passage? I don't understand very much. Now, the title is The Confession of One of Our Words. The Words, W-A-R-D-S. It's a capital, W-A-R-D-S. What's the? Yeah, might be. Yeah, One of Our Words. Confession of One of Our Words.
Yeah, one of those that are...
Yeah, maybe they have a school. So the class, the whole class going to a confession. I read again, just for clarity. One day, I felt driven to take steps to see to it that a feast of mercy be instituted and the image of merciful Jesus be painted, and I could find no peace. Something was pervading my whole being, and yet I feared being deluded. However, these doubts always came from outside, because in the depths of my soul, I felt it was the Lord who was penetrating my being. The priest to whom I was going to confession at that time told me that one can often have illusions, and I felt that he was somewhat afraid to hear my confession. Even before she go to confession, the priest already mentioned, "You are not the right person to come to me." This was a torture for me. Seeing that I was getting very little help from people, I turned all the more to Jesus, the best of all teachers. At one time, when I was filled with doubts as to whether the voice I heard came from the Lord or not, just make sure whether it is from the Lord, I began to speak to Jesus in theory without forming any words. Suddenly, an interior force took hold of me, and I said, "If you who commune with me and talk to me are truly God, I beg you not to make this word go this very day to confession." This word, the student. "I beg you, O Lord, to make this word
W-A-R-D.
Yeah. Go this very day to confession." Yeah. The child of children. Yeah. So she doesn't know whether this voice come from Jesus or from some other sources. So if people going for confession, because already the priest is afraid to hear her confession, no? So
I beg you, Lord, to make this word go this very day to confession. This sign will give me reassurance. At that very moment, the girl asks to go to confession. Well,
it's not her.
The other girl, I think. Another person. Just you're correct. Yeah, otherwise. No. But the priest to whom I was going to confession at that time told me that one can often have illusions, and I felt that he was somewhat afraid to hear my confession.
Doubting whether the voice that she is hearing is
an illusion for her.
And so to confirm that it is not an illusion, that it's really God, because
she
herself is doubting whether is this from God or from.
That's right. That's herself, the priest.
She asked for a sign. That if this girl will confess, then it is from God. Because it's like this girl really doesn't
exactly
confess.
But still, the priest doesn't want to hear, it seems, hesitate to hear her confession.
The girl was
tested,
priest, with much compunction,
with much sorrow.
It's adding the girl.
You connect to the girl, not herself?
No, I don't know. I don't know if she's talking like in a third person.
Now, you see, the priest to whom I was going to confession at that time told me that one can often have illusions. Maybe not here, yeah. And I felt that he was somewhat afraid to hear my confession.
Yeah, that is.
Two persons or one person?
For me, Father, there are two, but I'm less Faustina is talking in the third person, you know, because there's this wife, this girl, If she refers to herself as a girl, it is a different thing.
I turned to more to this person, then I was filled with doubt and divided the voice. Felt that he was somewhat afraid. So, now, maybe she's doubting whether the priest doesn't want to hear confession. The priest says something simple thing, and then she thought it's concerning her, but not necessarily, you know, not necessary. So she just asked Jesus whether it's really the priest saying this thing to her.
Whether she's just in illusion or because the priest is telling her, maybe.
Yeah. Good confession at that time. Told me that one can often have illusions. Okay. And further, the priest doubts whether she has inspirations. So she doesn't know what exactly, is it true or not true?